KFKA in the Colorado Inn present Rams Weekly, an inside look at all things Rams football. Here's Brady Hull, Kevin Lytle, and Christopher Abshire.
Christopher, don't call him Christopher. Chris Abshire.
Making me sound so formal over there.
It's a formal show, right?
Yeah, definitely. We're in suit and tie here in the studio.
It's a suit and tie show. I mean, it's a proper. We're going to get some lobster delivered, I think, later on. Kevin Lytle of the, both guys, of course, of the wonderful Fort Collins, Coloradoan. I'm Brady Hull. This is Rams Weekly presented by Mighty Rivers Brewing. Have you guys been there before? I know we're going to go out there for a couple of remotes, and I am pumped to go out there because I go out. I mean, I only live like 5 minutes away, so I basically live there, which I probably shouldn't broadcast, but it's a fantastic place.
I haven't been there yet on the to-do list, and obviously that's coming soon.
It's so relaxing, too, in the patio scene. You look out into the foothills. And, I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. So we're excited. We'll give you some details on that. But first things first, we all three predicted that CSU would win last week. I feel like most of the Rams fans that are alive today predicted the Rams to win, which is why most of the Rams fans that are alive today are pressing the panic button after losing to South Dakota State, and how many times must we say it? An FCS school, but doggone it, they're good. They lost 42-23. I'm a little worried.
Yeah, that was. I think we all thought it'd be close, competitive. Certainly knew South Dakota State was good. That was not a secret to anyone, but it was not close. I think 42-23 is a favorable scoreline for CSU for what the game actually was. So I think that is the concern. If it had been, whatever, a 27-24 loss, obviously not great, but it wouldn't have rang the alarm bells like it did because CSU kind of got manhandled in pretty much every way. They got physically dominated by, again, a very, very good FCS team, but that is not how you want to open the season, especially when you're trying to be, sort of that rough, tough, dominate up front type of team.
It was a pretty quick kind of recalibration.
Yeah.
I mean, because you referenced it, Kevin, in your post-game column about it. You know, I think most CSU fans expected a team to look, somewhat improved out there. We all predicted on this show last week either 5-7 or 6-6. We thought it was going to be a competitive team. That was the type of performance that immediately resets those expectations lower than that.
Yeah, no question. Well, the other thing that I think Rams fans are freaking out about is what did we talk about last week was what Adazio does best. It's in the trenches, the defensive line. We've bragged about that all offseason, and this improved offensive line. And both of those units really struggled. South Dakota State was able to run the ball at will. And really, the Rams, I mean, Todd Senteo looked all right. 300 yards, he missed, Dante Wright opened downfield, but he looked all right. But this team, we've said it, they're going to have to run the football if they want to win football games. And that looked rough.
Yeah, I mean, the Adazio team is supposed to dominate the trenches. And, I've been saying all camp the O-line was going to struggle, and that proved true. I don't really see how it's going to get a ton better. Obviously, there are some things you can do to improve, but I'm not sure they have the guys they need right now. But the D-line, we've all been hyping. I mean, Adazio's been saying they could be one of the best in the nation. That's probably a little hyperbole, but they sure looked good last year. I don't see why they wouldn't be good, but then they just got whipped up front. And I know South Dakota State has some guys that are probably NFL linemen, but you're supposed to have NFL D linemen too. And I know Toby McBride was out. That doesn't help, but it should not have gone the way it did. And that to me was the most shocking part of this game is how CSU's D line really was a non-factor.
Obviously, there's a lot to kind of dwell on from this game itself, but I think it's interesting after a game like that against an FCS school, it's almost strange to say, hey, they're coming back this week, another home game against an SEC team, and yet somehow it's a get-right game. For
right.
Them. They're favored in this game by 7 points.
Weird.
The expectation is they should probably come out of this game with a win. It's just such an odd way to start the season of you lose to an FCS school, and now we're talking about how you can bounce back against an SEC squad.
Vanderbilt, baby.
Vanderbilt's looking at this game like, please let us win, because they're in the same boat, but they're an SEC school, so the pressure there is absolutely ridiculous. So, yeah, going into this one, it's I think some of us kind of said it was a must win last week, and I don't know what you described this one as.
Yeah, it's weird because, I think we all agreed that it was probably kind of 50-50, about an equal chance to beat South Dakota State as beat Vanderbilt, and it's probably swung even a little more. South Dakota State was maybe a little better than we anticipated. Vanderbilt is probably what we anticipated.
Lost by 20 to a worse FCS school.
A mediocre FCS school. So this is a very winnable game for CSU, which feels like a weird thing to say, but it reminds me a bit a couple years ago. CSU got, again, kind of manhandled by Illinois State, a team at the time they were ranked pretty well in the FCS, but they actually were mediocre. They went 6-6 that year, I think. And then they bounced back with one of the crazier games you'll see to beat Arkansas, who they're not. That Arkansas team was bad, not as bad as this Vanderbilt team, but in some ways kind of similar. Like, I, despite all the issues we saw with CSU, I think they can win this week, and that's indictment on Vanderbilt as much as anything, but it's such a weird situation.
Absolutely. I mean, you're seeing echoes of that season, which I don't know if it's a good sign. You know, kind of speaking on that front, if we're looking back at that kind of era, you know, going into the half against South Dakota State the other night, giving up that long touchdown drive right before half, felt to me like the kind of momentum changers that CSU rarely came out on the good side of under Mike Bobo. So it's a little bit concerning to see, you know, maybe that trend kind of continue where, hey, that game was totally manageable going into halftime, right up until they gave up, you know, that five-play quick strike drive. All of a sudden, the tone in Canvas Stadium was a lot different after that.
Yeah, and then the other thing, it's just so tough because you guys saw it. I mean, the crowd was amazing. Everything. I wasn't there, but it the student
section. It was electric. It was amazing.
And you don't capitalize on that. And then the question will now be, can they do that this weekend? Will the fans come out? I mean, because there's real frustration. When we say panic button time, I know that term gets thrown around sports all the time. But CSU, before COVID, had so much pressure on the program because of that giant stadium on campus. Then all the off-the-field stuff, as you guys talked about last year. There's a lot of pressure on this program to get it right. The coaching hire felt a little interesting as Joe Parker had other names in the hat, and then, you know, questionable character stuff came out, and okay, never mind, let's go with Adazio. So there's a lot of pressure on this program, and when you lose to an FCS school, the pressure is almost insurmountable, where every game is like, every win feels like you're somehow revitalizing this team.
Yeah, and this is an important time. I mean, we're seeing, SEC, you know, their moves to get Texas and Oklahoma, the trickle down now, the Big 12 is snapping up four new teams. None of them are CSU. And every report says that, you know, roughly 75% of the evaluation process is how your football program is. Joe Parker basically admitted to me Friday before a game. He said, you know, the one piece we're missing, he says, you know, CSU, we have a great story to tell, great facilities, so many great things, you know, great alumni in the area. But we don't have the football program right now. Obviously, he is hoping and really needs this team to turn around, but it is a huge part of it. And at such a key time in college sport transition, CSU doesn't have the football program to attract a big, you know, power conference. You know, we don't know what will happen. You know, there are kind of rumblings that the Big 12 may still go to more later, but you really need that football program to be good, and it is not right now.
And getting off to that kind of start this year, I mean, we talked about it at, you know, game one last week, we talked about it, is a tone setter.
Mm-hmm.
Really needed to set the tone, especially considering that year one was really not a year one like we normally had. You know, this is year 1.5 in a way for Adazio. And game five right now, the sample size we have to work with does not exactly tell a great story for Adazio, for CSU. And as Kevin said, this is a very important time for this program, you know, under a second-year coach, trying to establish some level of momentum, not just on the field, in the program, but as you kind of, like, tying this all together, they got the fans in the stadium, they had them there, all excited, ready to rock, and then they come out a little bit flat. You know, it's a bit disappointing.
Yeah. And part of why we have kind of put a lot on these first two games is part of the schedule, too. You have Toledo next week on the road, which, you know, that's not a game that's not winnable, but it's a tough game.
Yeah.
And then Iowa after that, obviously, you know, it's not even a knock on any team. You're not going to Iowa and winning. I think everyone knows and accepts that. And then you have San Jose State defending champs at home. So it's a really tough schedule, and that's why these early games are so important, because if you start really poorly, it could go real sideways.
I like what you said last week on the San Jose State stuff. Yeah, they're the defending champs, but people still aren't getting that message. They're like, oh, who is this seem legit? Was that just the weird year? This is a good football team, and I know they struggled where most teams would struggle at USC, but they had their moments.
That was a one-score game in the second half at one point.
No question about it. So you're worried about that. You mentioned, Chris, you said the five games. Kevin, you're out there every day this year and then Zoom and all that stuff last year with all of it. Why does it feel like 16 games as opposed to five?
It is weird. It's so strange. I think part of it is they only played the four last year, but they prepared basically for eight.
Yeah.
The ones that were canceled, for the most part, were canceled very late in the week.
Right. Yeah.
So the whole week, it was a game week. You were practicing and talking and preparing for the game. So even though you only played four, they were doing the things leading up to the others. So I think part of that is why it feels like more has been played than really has. And then, obviously just duration. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since Steve Addazio was hired. And obviously all our clocks are a little messed up because of COVID. But I do think a large part of it is they were going through the process for all those games last year. It's not like they were canceled weeks in advance. For the most part, it was Thursday or Friday. So you had gone through game week.
You got everything but the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
So when we look at this, guys, what does this mean for the immediate, for the long term? You talked a little bit about the long term because it's why we said you got to win that game. I don't care if they're a good FCS school. You have to win that if your dreams are to ultimately be a Power 5 school with whatever happens in the next 5 to 10 years. How about the immediate future, though? I mean, there's part of me that looks at Steve Addazio. On my program, we talk a lot about, what's going on with the UNC Bears, what's going on with the Buffs, hell, the Broncos. Does Addazio have, what kind of leash are we looking at there with the pressure on this program? You can't, if things go really south here, and we're talking one or two wins, is he done? I mean, is it that extreme? I mean, were we pulling this cord that early?
It's hard to say, and this is where you do want to rein in a bit. It is week one, or
right.
Was week one, I should say.
Week one results lie.
Yeah. So that is very true. Obviously, there are some concerning signs, but you need to let things play out. But I will say, part of the reason Joe Parker and CSU as a whole wanted to hire a head coach, someone with head coaching experience, was because you didn't want to go through the learning process experience of, what Mike Bobo had, of a first-time coach that doesn't know how to run a program. So in that way, it's like, well, you hire a head coach so that some of that stuff is eliminated and you're more likely to win quickly. So it's not great to not win quickly. And a program like CSU, as far as a group of fives, they've invested, they're at the high end of investment in a program for a group of five. So whoever it is, no matter who the coach is, you can't be going with big loss seasons. Again, it's very early. A lot can change. But certainly, I mean, it's a results-based business, to use the cliche.
Well, and obviously, Brady, you brought this up earlier. There is that added layer of the stadium. And, this is year five. You didn't have crowds for year four due to COVID. But at the same time, if we're seeing later in the season the attendance not be there, the fan excitement not be there, it's really going to be hard if the win-loss number and the fan excitement are both lacking at that point. There's going to have to be some kind of change there. I'm not saying it's imminent or immediate, but, obviously there's time to right this ship. There absolutely is. Being a 7-point favorite at home versus Vanderbilt, they can absolutely come out and win this game, no doubt. But I do think it's worthwhile, us having this conversation, because so far through that 5-game sample size, the results simply have not been there. And say whatever reason you want, obviously a ton of extra variables than we would normally get, for, a football season.
Sure.
So, we'll see how they come out and respond, but it's definitely game one set the wrong kind of tone for this season.
Yeah, if you win this weekend, you at least get a somewhat of a sigh of relief. And we'll get to that. Kevin, you caught up with Cam Reddy. Maybe talk about what the offensive line was going through, going the wrong way, left way, whatever. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, some very strange things, I guess, we've learned since the game. Obviously, we saw the running game struggle. They averaged 3 yards carry, and really that was inflated by some fourth quarter carries when the game was out of hand, and South Dakota State had kind of called off the dogs. Steve Addazio said, they had the O-line was going the wrong way from how the play is designed on several plays, and obviously that's a very strange and kind of alarming thing to be having happen. You know, he said, you know, we'll get that right. You know, that's Adazio's area of expertise, but that is alarming. And yeah, Cam Reddy, guy, you could tell it was eating at him. He said he watched the film right away, right after the game, which I'm sure was not a fun experience. But, you know, he took a lot of the blame and pressure, and I think they're certainly frustrated and want to fix it.
Yeah. Well, we'll play that back. Kevin caught up with Cam, and we'll get that back for you as well. Again, Rams Weekly, produced by the Fort Collins Coloradoan, 1310, 103.1 KFKA. Presented by Mighty River Brewing Company. I can't wait till we're going to be out there, because even if it's a bad season, I could have a beer or two, maybe, and talk about it.
Good beers.
That could help us out a little bit. All right, we'll be right back. Keep it right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. To play some like Eye of the Tiger music or something to get us motivated going forward for a must win.
We can keep. How many musts are we going to hit?
I don't know, man. It's probably going to be all season now at this point. It sure feels like it. As we talked about, folks, again, this is Rams Weekly. I'm Brady Hull, joined as always by the wonderful folks over at the Colorado. And, man, we've just been huge fans of these guys for so long. We said, why don't you come over here, put together a radio show for us? And it's been fantastic so far. Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin caught up with Cam Reddy. And we have some questions about this offensive line. Anytime you hear a coach say they're going the wrong way on a good chunk of plays, you wonder what in the heck's happening when that's supposed to be your forte. Here's Kevin catching up with Rams offensive lineman Cam Reddy.
Just for you guys, what's mentality like, you know, kind of trying to rebound and everything? What's it been like since Friday night as you guys have, you know, started preparing for this week?
I think as a group, as a unit, as an O-line unit, we're trying to be as proactive as possible. The term we've been saying is get up off the canvas. We got to take the coaching. We got to make the corrections. We really just got to come out swinging. You know, it's a fighter mentality for us.
Is that kind of the thing you want to see from your teammates, of like kind of that sort of pissed off type of edge of like, let's fix this, let's go dominate, that type of thing?
Yeah. There's corrections we got to make that we know how to do. We've executed them before, and we just got to stick to our coaching, and we got to just come out with that fighter mentality as a team. So,
Coach was talking yesterday about, you know, team has to learn how to win. What does that mean to you? Like, what does that look like?
I think it's a combination of great preparation. So, like, as a team preparing together, whether it's on your own watching film, and then I think also when the foot hits the ball, you know, it's believing that you can win. You know what I mean? It's believing as a team you can win, and I think execution comes with that, and, you know, I think we're going to get that.
Yeah, obviously winning is kind of the best way to start developing that. But what do you see in the process and progress of that as the group?
I think there's definitely process. You know, I think that we keep on working on the culture. We're with each other all the time as a unit. You know, we're working our ass off. We're here after. We're staying after right now. We'll be in here later today. You know, our whole world centered around getting better and improving. So I think that we're on our way. We're working, doing everything we can to win.
What's your kind of mentality? Like, what was Friday night after the game like for you? Like, how do you, you know, take that, learn from it, and move on from it? Kind of how do you do that whole process?
I think it's just being honest with yourself that you can do better. You know, I think everybody can do better, and that starts with me. It starts with the center. You know, so as a center, you have that responsibility. You got to get everybody on the same track, and we got to execute better. And so I think that, you know, you swallow a tough pill, and then you move on right away. I mean, I already watched the film right after the game. You know, you get on it right away. No wasting time after that. Yes, sir. Yeah, you get going right away. I didn't waste a day, and we used the weekend, and then now we're here getting ready for Vanderbilt. So.
Awesome.
That was perfect for Kevin, for you to get that, because those have been the big question marks. Not just, you know, we know the defensive line struggled, but when you hear a coach say guys are going the wrong way, yeah, you want to hear from those offensive linemen, and who better to talk to than Cam Reddy?
Yeah, I mean, it's the captain of the O-line is always your center, and, you know, kind of runs that. He played every snap last week. He'll play, you know, barring health, he'll play pretty much every snap all season. So Cam's the guy that kind of anchors all that and has to start all of it. I think you could tell from just his tone, you know, not even the words, he was, you know, pride was hurt a little bit and wants to fix that.
Yeah, Chris, when you hear that from a coach, and you hear a lot of things as we talked about in that press conference, was I didn't have this team ready. Guys were going the wrong way. South Dakota State was clearly prepared. Is that week one stuff that you're used to hearing, or are the signals going off, man? Are the alarms going off? Is that not what you want to hear from your head coach?
Well, I definitely kind of hold both of those thoughts, you know, in the same time there, because, you know, at the same, on one hand, it is week one, and I do think this is where having a shortened 2020 season hurts them, because communication on a line, especially an offensive line, is paramount. I mean, it's so important, and a lot of times it takes guys working together with a lot of extended reps. And, you know, with a COVID season last year, you know, they had probably guys out for games at a time along the line, only played four games together, you know, new system under Addazio, so maybe didn't have a chance to establish some of that rapport, some of that communication that you want to see. But at the same time, when you have a whole off season to work on it, I think the real concerning part to me was seeing Addazio say earlier this week in the press conference, you know, he wasn't seeing these mistakes in practice. Well, that's a big problem, because it shows me that they were not testing some of those areas, especially of communication, the way that they were going to be tested in a game. To me, that is the concerning part to hear from your head coach. If he's talking about, you know, oh, these are problems I didn't see in practice, well, you know, that leaves a lot to be desired there as far as how well prepared was this team, was this unit actually for the game.
One thing that's kind of confusing to me, or just interesting, I should say, and, you know, we didn't get to go all the way into this, but he was saying the whole line is going the wrong direction, because you'll see sometimes a guy will go, you know, maybe missed a check or whatever. So I'm curious, obviously there's a communication breakdown somewhere. Was it the play call? Was it checks at the line? Something went wrong that the whole O-line unit read one thing. The rest of the offense had a different thing. It's a very odd thing, because like I say, you'll see a guy go the wrong direction. That's pretty easy to explain. Someone missed a check. But to have basically two units, your O-line unit and your skill guy unit, basically thinking different things are happening, that's strange.
Does this go back to Todd Senteo at all? Because again, Coach Addazio, very complimentary of Todd.
It didn't sound like it. I mean, and maybe this is the O-line coach speaking of, you know, my guys, you know, better be great. But everything Addazio said, from, you know, the issues on, you know, direction on the play to, you know, run game struggles, he put all on the O-line. Again, some of that might be the ego of the O-line coach, which is fair. I mean, that's what he probably should be like as an O-line, you know, historically an O-line coach. But everything he said, he put on the O-line.
I think when it comes to Senteo, I mean, I would not go there immediately on the blame. I don't think he had an amazing star performance or anything. Of course, he missed Dante on that one big throw early in the game.
That
really
one just sticks out really, the rest
really,
of the game. Yeah.
But the rest of the game, I thought he made some nice throws and some, you know, decently tight windows. Kevin and I were kind of talking about it even on the way here a little bit. It almost feels to me more like, you know, any of Senteo's shortcomings is kind of a piece with the running game. They're a symptom of the offensive line struggles, not the other way around. They're not the cause of the offensive line struggling. I think, you know, when the line is struggling to protect, struggling to get a running game going like that, you're going to see the guys behind them, the skill position guys, that are going to struggle as a result.
Yeah. Well, and we talked about practice. I mean, they were practicing throwing the ball a lot more. And I think I had you on, Kevin, on the whole show earlier last week. And we talked, hey, is that just something where they're wanting to fix what they're weak at, maybe? But it sounds like they should have been practicing that run game and getting that sharp.
And that's basically what Addazio said this week. It's kind of interesting because, yeah, all of camp he's been saying basically 60-40, 60% pass. And, yeah, a lot of it was that. We want to improve the pass game. And then Monday it was, well, we did that. The pass game was pretty good. I would say that's fairly true.
Yeah,
you need to hit that big shot. Absolutely. Everyone knows that. But if we're making a list of the problems from game one, pass game is pretty far down it.
Right.
But he's saying, you know, I think because of that, our focus on pass game, we maybe have let the, you know, the run play sort of fall off to the wayside. So we need to get that fixed. And, you know, he straight up said, we're not going 60-40 pass to run this week. We're going 60-40 run to pass. So, you know, Vanderbilt knows that now, I guess. But but that's his history. That's he said he'd never passed as much in a game as he did last week. And so now expect that to change as they try and fix the run game.
And you do tend to believe him more because of his history. But, you know, Coach Mike Bobo said that a lot. We're going to run the ball this time. We're really going to run the ball. And they ran it like twice. And then it's air this bad boy out.
Why would you do that with Warren Jackson and, you know, those guys?
Exactly.
Michael Gallup.
You know. But you do with Addazio, you believe it because that's his history.
When Steve Addazio tells me, we are going to try and pound the rock, and we will run it and run it and run it and run it, I believe him.
How many times will Senteo throw the ball in there? He threw it 42 times in this
Not
game.
42. Or if it's 42, that means something has gone terribly wrong with the defense. Well, I would expect 25, maybe.
I just question the wisdom of automatically rolling back that passing game to go toward the run, because as Kevin said, it wasn't like they were sound in the run game either.
No.
They were not great at establishing the line of scrimmage up there. 3.1 yards per carry, but as Kevin said, a lot of that came with a couple big runs in the fourth quarter. It was really more like about 2 yards per carry for the game. That's going to be tough if you're leaning on that aspect of your game.
And part of his point, this is one of those, there's no way to prove it without trying it, but part of his point was you got to run a lot early to wear them down late. So you may not have success early, but wear them down, then late in the game you beat them with it, which obviously there's some validity in that. But again, it's also hard to, depending on how the game goes, hard to necessarily do that. It's a real fine balance to run enough, like you say, to kind of wear defense and break them. But to also, you can't just be punting, going three and out and punting every series in the first half in hopes that you can run it late. So there's a very strange balance there.
As much as we like seeing Ryan Stonehouse out there punting.
55-yard average.
Rather see first downs. But still, when you're going to punt, you might as well average 55.
Hey, it's not a bad thing to have the best or one of the best in the nation.
That was the thing.
We keep talking about the punter a lot, man.
A lot, and it's not the positive way.
Should we just rename this, the Stoney Show?
We've got to get him on at some point then and just talk punts.
Absolutely.
We just have him describe every
maybe
punt.
Iowa week.
He might be on. We might need a 2-hour show at that point if that's the case. But last week, the narrative with that was kind of like, you know, it doesn't feel like it's a negative to talk about the punt team. And Ryan's certainly not a negative, but typically in football, when you talk about punting a lot and, hey, we want to be really good at it, fans get a little scared. They get a little squeamish because they're like, that means we're going to be punting a lot, not a lot of first downs and touchdowns. Okay. This turned out to be the case. Obviously Stonehouse was awesome, but you didn't want to see that many punts.
Yeah, and I think another issue, got to finish drives. You know, they had some solid drives. Obviously, I think the first half touchdown drive, I think, was a 17-play drive. It was phenomenal. That was the picture of what the Steve Addazio team wants to do.
Blueprint.
Yeah. But they weren't able to do it consistently. And they, you know, at times they moved it between the, you know, kind of the 40s, but stalled out. Again, they had the two touchdowns late. They had, what, 460-some yards of offense, which looks nice. And Addazio obviously was using that to show the offense good, but 200 were in the fourth quarter. You've got to have some more success early because it is hard. That's so much strain to put on your defense to say, hey, we need you to have the opponent 10 points all game.
Yeah, well, let's do this. Let's turn the page. Let's prepare for Vanderbilt and just start seeing what the Rams need to do to get a W. This is Rams Weekly, thanks to the Fort Collins, Colorado, and KFKA, presented by Mighty River Brewing Company in Windsor, Colorado. We'll be right back. Very fitting. That's just great production work back there. I hate to say that, but Michael sometimes does an okay job. It's good.
Absolutely.
Turning the page, right?
I feel the pain after his Washington Huskies.
Yeah, I brought that up this morning, and it was because I was going to give him a few days. I brought it up this morning, and it was not a good thing to do. So
just salt in the wound. Good work. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I thought after a few days, you know, he'd be all right. And I guess that's how Rams fans maybe feel, because you get to that point where, all right, it's Thursday. We're a couple days away. It's going to be a late Saturday night game, but still at beautiful Canvas Stadium.
It's Ag Day.
Yeah,
that's always
Ag
fun.
Day. Get that orange going, man. I'm going as a fan, so I can actually wear... I know the press box has some weird
cool
stuff.
New helmets and such.
Yeah, man.
They're going to look good at bare minimum.
Fantastic. So I got to get my nap in, though, because, press box is nice. It's comforting. But when you're out with the fans, you got to have some energy, man.
Yeah.
You got to bring it.
No one called Brady at like 1 o'clock Saturday. He's sleeping.
I'll be sleeping, man. Unless this is like a crazy, incredible game and we're just absolutely blown away. I want to see a blowout. I want to see CSU blow this thing out and make us feel a little bit better. But who knows?
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, that would help make people feel better, create a little excitement, give some hope. I think that's obviously a number one thing fans want is just a win. Ugly,
right. Gotta get a
beautiful,
sigh of
whatever.
Relief.
But that's what I'm curious about. Is a win enough?
Yeah.
Merely winning.
When you're not winning much, I think a win's enough. But I do think a kind of lopsided type, you know, dominant performance like Brady's mentioning, that would create a little bit more excitement and hope of like, hey, maybe we can go to Toledo and win. Because if you were, you know, we're going way ahead now, but if you were to win these two and go 2-2 in non-conference after losing Iowa, you'd be,
that'd
be great.
Good. Yeah.
So I think that, you know, beyond just a win, you know, some belief that you could take it on the road and win again a week later. I think that's what fans would want. And some of that would probably be following the blueprint. You know, run it fairly well, defend it pretty well, and make some things happen there.
The one thing that I kind of got out of that first game that I think is going to translate over to the second game, and this is watching both teams play, I have a hard time seeing this be a high-scoring affair. I think it's going to be a bit of a slugfest. I think you're going to see scores high teens, low 20s, that kind of range. I don't think either of these offenses are equipped to take advantage of the defensive shortcomings that may be out there. Although, as Kevin said, I am a believer in that CSU defensive line long term. I don't think they're going to be as bad this week or down the road as they were in week one.
Well, and you do wonder, again, every team has to go through this, but we're all human. You take things differently. Getting all the fans back in the stands and that first game back. I mean, all mentally, who knows? Things could just go awry, and you don't want it. It's not ideal, but maybe that'll be the case. If they do what East Tennessee State, I don't know the team's name, beat Vanderbilt 23-3, if you do that, then, yeah, fans walk away and go, okay, maybe last week was just one of those rare things.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are ways you can see it happening. Like you said, Vanderbilt struggles. If CSU can get the run game going, this also feels like a turnover game. If you can not give the ball away, there are probably going to be some turnovers one way or another. So make sure you're the one getting them rather than giving them, because I don't think we're going to be looking at the box score Sunday morning and seeing no turnovers, just the way these teams are. So that to me, again, that's, you know, not rare, but going to be a big part of this game.
I do think that's going to be key. And like you said, it's kind of goes back to getting this thing turned the right way. Turnovers were not a huge problem in game one, but
just
this,
the one.
No, just the one. But, you know, this in game two being sound like that, because, you know, they probably should win this game against Vanderbilt. But the thing that can kind of throw a wrench into that is some of those big momentum turning plays, kind of like what I referenced with that drive at the end of the half against South Dakota State. Yep. You need to avoid
the special
those
teams issues last year.
Yes, the special teams issues last year, which is another point. They were actually pretty solid in week one there.
Yeah.
I know we already brought up the punter, but special teams as a whole
were solid, right?
Which is a good sign for a game like this where you figure, hey, you know, we might need some field position help. We might need to be strong as far as, you know, holding on to the ball security-wise. Those are good signs for them. I mean, you know, the offense probably needs to step up a little bit more, get that running game going, as we've harped on all show. But the signs are there for a good bounce back this week.
I think that's another good point you bring up, Chris, too, is the fact that special teams was such a big thing that Adazio was talking about throughout the offseason. He said we're going to be electric. He vomited and all that. It was fun stuff, some fun sound bites.
Big words, yeah.
But he, you know, he put his focus on that at least through one game. Vastly improved. So maybe that's going to be the case for this offensive line in the run game. If they're fixing all their guns on that this week, we could see that vastly improved.
Yeah, I mean, the O-line play is going to be the number one maybe focus of this game.
Yeah.
You could argue D-line, but I think everyone kind of agrees the D-line's going to be better than it was. So I think the O-line's a big thing. If you can get them going, they're not going to be, you know, the most dominant force ever, but if they can be solid, that should be enough.
So when you look at Vanderbilt, there's not a lot to take if you go back and watch this game. I mean, it was, when you score 3 points, there's not a lot you're taking from it. They got a guy in Will Shepard with 9 receptions, 84 yards, but it's hard to look at stats if you didn't watch the full game, because as you guys talked about, even with CSU, those stats are all misleading. So
it's a first-year coach,
yeah.
So there's not really documentation of exactly what he wants to do. They're using two quarterbacks, and it sounds like they'll do that again this week. So they're, Adazio even said that, because it's hard to really prepare, because you don't have historical reference, you don't have season reference. It's kind of a, you know, kind of expect a lot of different things and adjust on the fly because there's no history book here, and that's good and bad. I mean, obviously there's a reason it's a first-year coach, you know, trying to rebuild a terrible program, but it does throw some weird wrinkles in as well. If you just don't really know for sure what to expect or what their identity really even is because they don't have one yet because it's so new.
Yeah. One of the rare times this season that CSU is going to have the continuity, the cohesion edge in a game. That's just simply not going to be the case many other games just because of the reality of how 2020 played out and everything. So that's another area where, you know, if you're talking off the field, getting a little more intangible here, you know, they're still under not only a first-year head coach, first time ever being a head coach, and who knows, maybe there's big things down the road for him and Vanderbilt, and big things being relative there just given what their ceiling is going to be in the SEC. But that doesn't really matter for Saturday night. I mean, they're game two under, you know, this tenure.
And everyone knows it's a big rebuild. This isn't like tweak things here and there.
No, it's not what you would expect, like, you know, relatively speaking, when you talk about bringing in a new coach at CSU. You know, when Adazio came in, you know, obviously there's a little rebuilding to do, but there was tons of talent on the roster, things like that. Obviously, circumstances threw a little bit of a wrench into that, but Vanderbilt is a much taller task here. So that's where I think CSU needs to kind of take advantage in this game, is they do actually have that kind of cohesiveness that Vanderbilt might be lacking.
Trey McBride was as good as advertised again, 13 receptions, 116 yards. Do you guys see those kind of numbers this weekend, or with the switch to 60-40 run, are we bringing Trey? And who said, he said so himself, Kevin, he said he likes blocking more anyway. Do you see those numbers almost cut in half this weekend?
Trey does love blocking.
He does.
The one I always use, if you guys watch The Blind Side, when he blocks a guy onto the bus, that's Trey McBride.
That's what he wants
to do. I mean, he really does love it. It's kind of fun to watch. I think he's still getting his throws. When they're throwing, it's to him and Dante Wright, which in some ways is part of their problem, is they don't really have weapons that they trust beyond that. But Trey McBride, that dude is unguardable.
He's ridiculous.
I mean, he's amazing. Everyone knows what he is, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Do you have someone that can guard Trey McBride?
No, Michael? You know, anybody in Washington?
Tanner?
Montana, maybe? I don't think anybody. That's the thing. Speaking of Tanner, big game coming up after us tonight. We're going high school. Normally we'll go NFL, but we're going high school. Severance going up against Platte Valley tonight. So Tanner's the
fun one too.
Quarterback's coach down there. So should be wild. Good
nice
luck.
Segue there.
Good luck, Tanner Schwinn. It's his old team versus new team. I mean, there's drama in
Jersey,
Colorado. I mean, it's nuts, man. All right, guys, let's take a look around the Mountain West. Let's get predictions. Also, an interesting CSU-related NFL game tonight, Tampa Bay and Dallas. A couple of former CSU Rams studs there. So Rams Weekly continues on the other side. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back to Rams Weekly, presented by Mighty River Brewing. Check them out, mightyriverbrewing.com. They're in Windsor. We're going to be out there for a couple of big remotes. That'll be fun. I'm Brady Hull, and of course, joined by Chris Abshire and Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. I think I feel better now. We vented it out a little bit. We aired it out. We're ready to move on, and we can just... I'm just thinking about on to Vanderbilt. We're done. It only took us to Thursday. But, you know, around the Mountain West, guys, so far, there were some pretty interesting games throughout week one. I mean, Fresno State hanging in there with Oregon. You had, as we talked about with San Jose State, hanging in there with USC, my goodness.
Bit, yeah.
And then Nevada coming up with the crazy win late against Cal. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that's a real nice win. Nevada looking like they're legit. Fresno, maybe the most impressive performance.
I think
can you
so.
Say that, even though it's a loss? They might have. And then we also have to say Boise with a bad loss. Losing at UCF itself isn't bad, but the way it happened, Boise was up 21-0, yeah, we're in total control. And then late had a drive that could or should have taken control, a really bad interception. So that was a bad loss for the Mountain West with how it went down.
Yeah.
Overall, I mean, I think it was a solid week one showing for the Mountain West. I'm especially impressed by that Nevada result because, you know, all the talk about them is Carson Strong, you know, great quarterback there. They didn't win that game with offense.
Mm-mm.
And Cal is a team that a lot expect to be in that 7-8 win range this year in the Pac-12. They're not expected in any way to be, you know, cellar dweller there. I was very impressed by Nevada. And, you know, even though Boise lost that game, you know, they were right there late. against, you know, probably the other best group of five team.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
New coach, but still
they should have won it, Boise State team. But they're still going
to
be good.
And then, of course, Utah State going up to
we do need to mention that. Utah State is a team that we thought would be bottom-ish of the Mountain West, and they go beat Washington State, who's obviously not a great program, but still, that's a nice win.
All of a sudden, CSU's schedule doesn't look any easier than we thought it
did. I'm very curious to see. All right, so a couple of big San Diego State, Arizona this weekend.
Yeah, San Diego State looked really bad in a win over a bad team last week. So that's interesting. Obviously, we have Air Force Navy on September 11th has a lot of non-football connotations to it.
Yeah, it will be a very interesting weekend, of course, too, because of the anniversary of just a horrific day on 9/11. All right, guys, going into the weekend, let's take a look. We all three picked CSU to win last week, and I think I picked them to win 80-0, so I was pretty far off there. What do we think here? CSU Vanderbilt, do they get things at least for a week, Kevin? Do they get things back on track? What's the score going to be?
Yeah, I do think CSU is going to win this. I would say about 27-17 type of game, but I think CSU can win this and should win it and at least calm things down for a little bit.
I'm going to update my week one pick a little. I said CSU would come storming out of the gates in that one. I think they'll do it this time, this week.
However,
they're going to come storming out of the gates. However, I think it's going to be a real close kind of slugfest of a ball game, as we talked about. I like CSU 22-20.
22-20. Close game there. Michael's playing something back there. I like CSU to win. I think CSU scores 21, and maybe Vanderbilt gets their first touchdown. It's 21-7. I'm going to go 21-7. Rams fans feel a lot better about their lives after week two. Guys, great job again. We'll look forward to next week. Hopefully we're talking about a W.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
That's going to do it for Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.